Yes.
Thank you. Is everyone ready?
Yes.
All right. I'm calling the meeting to order. I'm sorry for the lateness, but we had a little bit of problem in terms of the setup, and I appreciate everybody's patience. I'm going to ask the secretary to call the roll, please.
Want me to walk around with it? Give me the other one.
Yeah. The other one's the battery's
shut. Oh, we're waiting for the other one?
No, we don't have any manholes.
There's one microphone.
Well, we'll have to pass it around.
For the roll call, rather than take the time to pass the microphone around, I'll ask the secretary just to repeat what he hears from the floor.
Don't anybody say anything. Okay, so going to start with the roll. Agamir?
Present.
Agamir is here. Alderson is here. Bernstein is not here. Edwards Kiekert.
Brian.
Brian here. Brian Edwards Kiekert is here. Fuentes Roman. Fuentes is not here. Gans. Gans is not here. Goldmacher.
Here.
Goldmacher is here. Hallinan.
Here.
Hallinan is here. Hernandez.
Here.
Hernandez is here. Johnson.
Present.
Johnson is here. Coburn?
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Moore?
Present.
Moore is here. Morgan? Morgan is not here. Bridget?
She's here.
She's getting us a battery.
I'll come back. Mark are not here for the moment. Rosenberg?
Here.
Rosenberg is here. Sanders?
Here.
Sanders is here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Siegel? Siegel is not here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Camille Nichols, so you would not be here. Travis? Travis is not here. Witherman?
Here.
Witherman is here. White?
Physically present.
White is here. Wilkinson? Wilkinson is not here.
Not mentally.
And we have Quan.
Do I hear any action with regard to absent members?
I'd like to get it.
Joy, you have the floor. I apologize.
This will cut down on the conversation. I just want to ask for an excuse for Ramsey. He did let us know that he's traveling out of town. Frank's
going to
get all the work.
I'm sorry.
Janet?
I can yell this. It's just a bad excuse, absolutely. It doesn't matter. I believe Samsara Morgan is ill, and I'm going to excuse that. I think I got that from somebody else. So you could add that to the motion.
Anyone else?
Yes, Carol Travis is ill.
Carol Travis is ill.
Mel Bernstein.
Mel Bernstein is ill. And Margie Wilkinson, I understand, is
out of town.
Anyone else? May I have a motion with regard to the absent members?
Oh, David Gans is working.
Oh, David Gans is on tour.
Okay. I make a motion.
I hear a motion that the named absent members be excused, and that's from Jory, am I correct? Is there a second? From Brian, a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any nays? Hearing none, the motion is ordered. We now turn to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as the members have proposed agenda?
So moved.
A motion to approve the proposed agenda has been made by Brian. I see Janet's hand.
Second.
There is a second. Janet?
Given that we started early, I'm sorry, we started late,
can we adjust some of the time?
Could you move it a little bit away from your mouth? I'm having trouble hearing.
Given that we started late, can we adjust some of the time?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I'll move that we make all times advisory only.
Exactly. A motion has been made. The question has been raised about the lateness, and the solution motion has been offered to make the times advisory only. Is there a second?
Yes.
I hear one. Is there? Do we need a discussion? Or, Barbara?
Are you talking about just the point at which a segment begins and ends?
Yes.
You're not changing the number of minutes allowed for each section.
Correct. I'm going to add four, is what you're saying.
Are we? Well, we have to end at four. We might beat some of these things faster. But how many minutes are we going to allow for each section is what I'm concerned about.
This is a little slow.
I see. Brian wants to speak, and I see your hand, Tracy.
I'm speaking absolutely.
Okay, I'll clarify my motion to make all start times advisory only.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that good?
That's good.
Is there a second?
Second.
Tracy, do you still want to speak?
Yeah, it's about the agenda. It's something else about the agenda.
Oh, something else. Okay. I'll take your next.
Okay.
Let me just indicate, are there any objections to the motion that the start times be advisory? Hearing no objection, so ordered. I recognize Tracy. Boy, are you going to get exercise today.
I think there's a better one coming. I'll get it.
All right, so it's
time to move. This is just a question about the order of old business. It's not like I'm not sure we're going to get the old business, but my understanding was that generally the oldest old business would be ranked on top, and then the newer old business would follow sequentially. So I think item A is actually, in terms of the order in which these items were brought to the board, is actually item F or item G. So I'm just wondering if we might want to reorder those so that if we do get to old business, we get to the first old business before we get to the last old business.
Tracy, hold the mic. And a question for me. If we move that to the end, does the rest of it meet your understanding of the order?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, why don't we just, Mark, Mike to Mark, please.
Mike to Mark.
The question would be, is this an issue of bylaws versus local ordinance? And as a matter of urgency, if it's something that requires us to take action at the national level, or address something at the national level, that would take precedence over any local business. It would also take precedence over any urgency of local business.
We're debating without a motion.
Yeah.
No point. Like,
can
move something and vote on it? Or let's approve the agenda.
My question to the board, would it be agreeable to the chair's suggestion, and I hear everybody, but just for efficiency's sake, that we move A to the end, and so that it be the order would be B, C, D, F, A.
Great. A second.
No objection.
No objection to that. That's where the agenda will go.
Thank you. Now we've got to approve the agenda.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, good.
Is there any objection to approving the agenda as modified? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. By the end of my term, I'll learn how to run the meeting. All right. I do want to, before we go further, because of, and I'm very pleased to see the number of people in attendance, I want to bring to everyone's attention, in the rear of the room, there is a sign-up sheet for those in the public audience who would like to address the board at the appropriate time. So if that is your intent, please find the sign-up sheet and sign up to it. And now we turn to the Secretary's defense of his minutes. Craig.
I think there's some other things. I have nothing to defend. Yeah. I passed out 3 minutes, one from July 13th, one from July 27th, and one from July 30th. So if you don't have them, there are more copies on the back table. And I guess we can consider the July 13th minutes first. So any revisions, comments, corrections, Joy?
I wasn't at that meeting, but again, I want to thank Craig for all of his work. I know this is hard work keeping up with all these people. In the interim general report, there's a line that I just am very confused about. I don't understand. It says we're spending...
Could you help us find it on the page, Joy?
Interim general report number 7, second sentence.
Page 1.
Page 1.
Yeah, please.
We're spending 90 days a year in drives and focus shifts to premiums rather than programming due to special programming. I don't understand that sentence. It's something Richard supposedly said.
Yeah.
You want to give him a copy?
Sure.
Oh.
Don't go away.
I won't. I don't understand it.
I can explain. And you can correct me, Richard, if I get this wrong. But my understanding from what Richard's remarks was that we were spending 9 days in fund drives, and that the emphasis in the fund drives was shifting to the premiums and special programming. We diverted away from the regular programming, which is what people tune
okay.
for. So,
it should just say, rather than regular programming, we'll have special programming.
Okay.
I'm satisfied.
How do you want
to? So I would. My suggestion would be that we're spending 90 days a year in drives and focus just to premium, rather than regular programming.
Okay.
We will have special programming. Isn't that what you meant?
So insert regular.
Yeah. So insert regular. So
yeah.
Say premiums rather than regular programming.
Right.
Due to special programming. Does that clarify it?
Yes.
Janet, I see your name.
I'm Janet.
Just a minor. I think with that sentence, if you just move the due to the special programming before rather than regular programming.
It's a small thing, but
yeah.
Okay.
Anything
right.
further?
So that sentence would read, focuses to premiums due to special programming rather than regular programming.
Perfect.
That work?
Good.
Any other comments, questions, revisions on July 13th agenda? Okay. A motion to accept?
Great.
Seconded. It's been seconded. Any objection to approving minutes as corrected? Hearing none, the minutes are accepted as corrected. The next item, public comments, and if...
You got two more minutes.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to go through. The secretary didn't kick me fast enough.
So, at the July 13th meeting, the board voted to hold a special in-person meeting on July 27th. And those minutes, the July 27th minutes, reflect that meeting. And comments, corrections, questions?
From the minutes?
Yes.
You have 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, Andrew, thank you for the batteries.
Sorry. Let me note that Andrew Pritchett is here. Banker for the
Barrows. Procedurally, I don't know what to do. From the last meeting that we had, there was quite a lot of discussion about this notion of Dan and Samsara's effort to help us move into a discussion of how to approach issues around institutionalized racism. And that, I thought, was in this, I thought from the previous meeting, But that was meant to be carried over. And I also asked, I sent an email asking that this issue be on the agenda. So sadly, my 4A book of batteries means that this issue is erased from memory.
So let me just say that right now we're looking at the minutes. The minutes from July 13th, that issue was deleted from the July 13th agenda. So, we're not on approving the agenda yet. We're still where we actually passed that.
Yeah. Andrew, bear with me for a moment. Let's go through the minutes. You were absent when we went to the agenda. You were absent on business for the board. So let's attend to this, and then I will give the mic back to you to address the concern that you just voiced.
Okay.
Okay?
Great. So we're okay with this one. Let's go.
Motion to accept July 27th minutes?
Yeah.
Make
a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
It is second. Is there an objection?
Yes, there is.
Tracy?
Do a roll call vote, please.
Roll call vote. A roll call vote. All right. The secretary is getting ready.
Yeah, we don't have to pass the mic, but...
No, but he is going to get the roll call paper out.
Roll call vote for minutes, choose.
My understanding from the last meeting is that the item was meant to be carried over. Well, I'm not going to approve because I don't think it represents the agreements from the last meeting.
Well, the point is that there was no forum.
Yes, there are.
Okay. All right. May I have the group's attention? We're ready for the roll call. The secretary will call the roll, please.
To approve.
And this is for what?
This is to accept the minutes of the July 27th meeting.
July 27th.
Not 13. We approved 13. Okay, we're on 27. Sorry. Special in-person
vote. Call the roll.
Okay. Agamir?
No.
Agamir, no. Alderson? I will vote yes. Bernstein, not here. Edwards Teeger?
Yes.
Edwards Teeger is yes. Fuentes, not here. Gans, not here. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Hallinan?
Yes.
Hallinan, yes. Hernandez?
I have a point of order to raise on this, but I vote yes.
Okay. Hernandez, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Moore?
Yes.
Moore, yes. Morgan, not here. Pritchett?
No.
Pritchett? No. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. Sanders?
Abstain.
Sanders? Abstain. Sawyer? Sorry?
Yes.
Yes. Sawyer? Yes. Okay. Siegel, not here. Sterling?
Okay, no.
Sterling, no. Dale Nichols, not here. Travis, not here. Wipperman?
Yes.
Wipperman, yes. White?
No vote.
White, not voting. Wilkinson, not here. So that's 9 yes, 6 no in the minutes are approved.
And one abstention.
And with one abstention. And that's for July 27th. Okay. And then we also have July 30th. Oh, sorry.
A point of order was raised with regard to the July 27th meeting, is that correct?
After the question of whether there's any legitimacy on this, with or without a quorum, the meeting was called, and minutes are in order. They are meetings, even though the business is conducted is limited. And actually, there's still official actions. When a board is calling a meeting, it is a meeting, whether or not business is conducted. And minutes are perfectly in order.
So, and they were passed.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? I see Tracy's hand. Would you pass the mic to her, please?
Just the same thing on July 30th. Objection to the minutes. We must properly note it. Roll call vote to approve.
Okay. Before. Hold on a second, please. I will consider that it will be has been made right after the secretary draws our attention to the minutes.
Okay. Considering the minutes from July 30th, any comments, questions? Revisions?
Seeing none, a roll call has been requested.
Is there a motion to accept?
Well, thank you.
Accept.
Okay, roll call has been requested.
Point of personal privilege.
Shout it out. I will get the mic nearby.
I find it fascinating that the people who chose not to attend the official meeting on July 27th find it necessary to call roll call vote so they can once again show that they were not present.
Excuse me. Point of personal privilege.
And I object to the roll call vote wasting time.
Please. Excuse me. My understanding of a point of personal privilege is a need to deal with something of bodily function or temperature of that nature. Am I right or wrong?
I excuse you if you have passed gas.
Anyway, it's been said. Let's go on with the roll.
No spanking.
Okay, Augmeyer?
No.
Augmeyer, no. Alderson, yes. Bernstein, not here. Edwards Tiegert?
Yes.
Edwards Tiegert, yes. Is not here. Gant is not here. Goldmacher?
Yes.
Goldmacher, yes. Hallinan?
Yes.
Hallinan, yes. Hernandez?
Yes.
Hernandez, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Moore?
Yes.
Moore, yes. Morgan? Not here. Pritchett?
Abstain.
Pritchett, abstain. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. Sanders?
Abstain.
Sanders abstain. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel, not here. Sterling?
I do abstain.
Sterling abstain. Tanner Nichols, not here. Travis, not here. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman? Yes. White?
Not voting.
White, not voting. And Wilkinson, not here. That's 9 yes, 4 no, 3 abstentions, and minutes are adopted.
I thank everyone for their participation. And if I'm not mistaken, at this point, we are ready for public comments. I'm sorry, no, Andrew, I promise you I will get back to you. You have the floor.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't really know what to do because I misunderstood when I objected to the minutes. I thought it was only the minutes from the 13th. Because in July 13th, my understanding is that issues are going to be held over. And that this body had expressed interest in convening a conversation about how racism has been institutionalized in various ways at KPFA and what steps we might take to address that. Dan and Samsara, as far as I know, were asked to take that on. Last meeting, they were not prepared to comment. This meeting, neither of them are here. And I feel I actually specifically sent an email requesting that item be on the agenda. And I received no response from the secretary or yourself. It just isn't there. And so I'm curious about that. I understand that you're taking the vote procedurally, I'm outnumbered, and et cetera. But in the spirit of what we're trying to do here, I think it's an important topic. And I don't understand why I don't have the power to put something on the agenda.
Barbara, although I'm not the secretary nor the chair, I did respond to your email because I remembered that Samsara asked that we delay until they requested to be on the agenda again. And that, you know, if you want to put it on the agenda and we all talk about that, that's one thing. But my understanding was she was very upset that it was on the agenda. She didn't feel that it had been put, should have been put on the agenda yet because they were not ready to do that. Now, that's my memory, and I did send you an email about that because I remembered that. So, adding to the facts.
I see George's hand.
Can I make a motion that we put that item agenda on the next meeting and we'll figure it out then? Because we're not going to have enough time today.
Can you name it specifically so that...
I would like to propose that we have an item on the next meeting agenda pertaining specifically to racism, institutionalized racism,
may I I see several hands, so I won't ask my question that may be answered by the people. I saw Janet's hand first, and then I saw Mark's hand. Anybody else? And I see Tracy's hand.
I'll second Joy's motion.
All right. And Janet, you have the floor.
Okay, so it's my understanding what Joy just said to me is a different motion, or it's addressing something different than what happened whenever it was made, when there was a motion by Dan and it was voted on here to have a closed session to, I can't remember the exact wording, and that to discuss discrimination or whatever, and that Samsara and Dan were tasked with, or they tasked themselves with planning the timing and et cetera. And that's where that is at. And so we have not heard, or we heard from Samsara last time that she did not, she and Dan did not speak about it or meet about it. And she's not here, or neither of them are here today, so I can't.
Andrea, I have your hand.
I think that Joy's motion is something different than that.
And I disagree, but I'll wait.
Okay. The list of speakers that I have, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, Andrea, and Craig.
And Joy.
And Joy.
Joy, can I ask that you write the motion down?
I am.
For us? Thank you.
Mark, your floor.
The consideration here is what the board is intending to do. Is the board intending to call a committee before it and demand an explanation? Or is the board willing to discharge these people and replace them? Because essentially that's what you're doing with this. You're not consulting with the members of the committee. Instead, you're telling them what they're going to be doing, that they're going to be at the next meeting and you're going to want answers from them, which is essentially directing them and not allowing them to do the work. Just want the board to consider what it's doing with this motion.
Andrea. And Brian, could you...
We don't need to speculate or infer or this. We can actually have the conversation. I think it's wonderful that Samsara and Dan can report back. If they can't, that's also good. But I don't believe that their ability to meet or not meet. Dan has a very busy schedule. Samsara has a very busy schedule. Whatever it is, it's keeping them from having that conversation. But I don't think this board and its work needs to stop and suspend itself. I think it's right for us to say, have you met? If they say no, that's fine. And we decide what to do from there. We're not correcting them. And why shouldn't we give them input? And why shouldn't we create an opportunity for other people to input on this important topic?
Point of information.
And then Craig has the floor.
So, Joy, would this be in open or closed session?
So I'm next on the list anyway.
All right. When you... Okay, go ahead. Answer the question if you
okay. Ready. First, both Jen's points. First point, I intentionally made this very broad. It only says to include an agenda item in the next meeting, institutionalized racism at KPFA. What we do with that item depends on whether we discharge Samsara or whether we come up with something else. It's open. Whether it's closed session or not, I think we should have open. I'm sorry, institutionalization starts with closed doors. So let's open the door. It's vague enough that we can put whatever we want in there.
Please, you guys, let's move forward.
Thank you.
Craig.
So first, just to respond to you, Andrea, I issued a call for agenda items a week and a half prior to the meeting, and your request came late. And I apologize for not responding. I thought, I was worried it would look like a blow-off if I just said, come to the meeting and make a motion to amend the agenda. Maybe I should have said that. So I apologize if, you know, I communicated something, you know, by my absence in responding. But the fact is, people can come and make amendments to the agenda. And so you're welcome to do that. And
just
done that. So okay. So I just want to. On the substance of the motion, I just want to remind folks that there is a report that is supposed to be prepared, and I hope the general manager or interim general manager can address this on this question. And it would seem to me like, on the one hand, we have this committee that has been asking for time to prepare for this and plan for it. that is still in process, as far as I understand. And B, then we have this report that is supposed to be coming out soon, if it has not been prepared already. It seems to me like we will want all of those things to consider before we take up the issue. I mean, we would be spinning our wheels, and it would be a pointless waste of our time to consider this without the information we need to make an informed decision. So whether that will be ready by the next meeting, I don't know. But I would like to hear what the committee has proposed first, and whether we have a report first. For that reason, I'm going to vote no on this. Not because I don't think it's a worthwhile topic to consider, but you know, let's have some information before us before we start talking about this.
What are you afraid of?
The dark.
Yeah,
really.
I
have
to respond.
I see you here. Hold on a second. I feel a need as chair to make the following observation. The board has passed a motion in the area of this subject, and we have delegated it to a committee, and I think that the appropriate thing to do, rather than to move into the area of a committee we have assigned, is to ask that committee to give us a report, a progress report, at the next meeting. And I, Joy, if I understand correctly, that's the essence of your motion. Well, let me put it this way: it's not. It doesn't go against the spirit of your motion.
Right. And can I just respond to that?
Please.
Listen to me. All I'm saying is, we don't know what Samsara and Dan Siegel are going to tell us, and that's true. I am assuming that between now and the next meeting, they will have a chance to give us a report. I'm assuming that the Pacifica National investigation will have produced a report, and we will have that information. The reason why I'm concerned about this is because it got lost once. If we let it go, it may get lost again. We always have these pressing things. So why would it hurt us to put it on the agenda and then work out between now and then how it actually happened? Why are we afraid of this? Let's just go forward with this. The least that can happen, the worst can happen is we have to put it over to the next meeting. That's the worst. Come on, please, you guys, please vote for this.
The point.
Can we move the question?
Yes, please.
I heard the question be moved. That takes precedence. All those in favor of closing debate, it takes a supermajority. All those in favor, please raise your hand. With the secretary count, please.
Yes, 13 yes.
All those opposed, please raise your hand.
13 to 2.
The debate is closed. We are ready to move to the motion and based upon the interpretation given by the maker. All those in favor, would the secretary read it, please?
Okay. So the motion is to include an agenda item on the next meeting, institutionalized racism at KPFA.
Period.
Yeah. Okay.
Point
so,
of order.
Yeah.
Point of order. Point of order.
I request that the chair advise the public who is attending this meeting that they are to be silent with hands, mouth, and feet during the board discussion.
If you will forgive me, Jack, I will do it if and when any expression from the attendees is disruptive.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All those in, where the hell are we?
We're voting on the motion.
All those, everybody have the motion in mind. Yeah. Is there any objection to the motion? Yeah. Hearing done, the motion is accepted as articulated. Thank you, Joy, and thank you, board members, and thank you, members of the audience. We are ready for public comment. Would somebody bring me up the sign-up sheet, please?
I'll get it, Brett. You do it.
I'll bring it up. Yeah, this is him.
Is there a mic stand, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Dan, sorry.
You, folks will have to use the hand mic. I apologize for this. Okay.
Don't go down.
Greet.
Thank you, Brian. There are a number of people who want to speak, so I'm going to ask the timekeeper strictly to enforce our time limits, which is 3 minutes, and that also applies to board discussion.
Are you going to read the list first? So
yeah. Adrian Lauren, and if I screw up your name, my apologies in advance. Karen Keyes, Andrew Phelps, Dennis Long, Orker R, Mickey Mays, Carol Wolfe, Sarah Blanco, Lynn Orlando, Robin Takayama, Virginia Browning, Daniel Borgstrom, and Anita Johnson. And the first one is Andrea Lobby. And Andrea, welcome. You have a.
Wait.
Sorry, 1 second. What's the time limit for speaker?
Three.
Three. Okay.
Well,
Just asking. I don't want to make a decision.
No, no, but I hear some comments. My understanding is that it's 3 minutes for the speakers. And please start so we can move on. So and Adrian?
You'll have a counter facing you. It'll chime at the end of 3 minutes.
All right.
Thank you very much. Your time starts.
Your hand just has to be mine. So we can talk so my name is Adrian Lobby, and I am a co-producer on Pushing Limits, the Disability Radio program on Friday afternoons. I'm also an elected member of the EPSO Unpaid Staff Organization Council. I'm here to seek to encourage you to put the $5,000 expense for unpaid staff expenses back into the budget. This is a new fund. It was started last budget. It's been underutilized for a variety of reasons. Basically, we haven't gotten it together to tell people about it most closely. And it should come back in, and I'll tell you why. There have been people who have come to me, people I don't know very well, but work with in some capacity, and say, I need bus fares. Can you loan me a bar ticket so I can get in and do my show tomorrow? There are people who have regrettably become homeless while they were unpaid staff at the PFA. There are a fair number of us who are working fairly close to the edge. This is an important group of people to have on our airways, very important because of the messages and the framework that they bring. And it's humiliating that they cannot find an emergency fund to get a little bus fare here and there. The other thing that's happened to me is people say, oh, I heard about this great radio class. I really want to take it. I'm so excited. Or there's this conference that's right in my field and all the experts are going to be there. I want to go and record. I go back and talk to them and I say, well, how'd it go? Was it great? And they say, well, I couldn't quite put it together. I didn't quite have the money to do this. Now, $5,000 is not a lot of money. We have a $3.5 million budget. It's pittance, and frankly, it's pretty much a pittance for these problems. We're not going to give bus passes to 250 people. We're not going to send everybody to conferences. But it's a way to tell people we're behind you, we care about you, we care about your immediate needs, your crises, and we want you to get more skills, and we want you to bring important things back to the listeners. You're part of our team. And I'm very distressed to see this come out of here. Maybe it was an oversight, but I think it's a kind of a token, but a really important token. If you're worried about administrative, we've got 5 elected members of the EPSO Council. We could probably take on the administration with a little report to the managers, a report back to you, whatever you want. Because say it's a fitness, like 400 and some a month, not that hard to figure out what to do with. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Karen Keyes. And the next person is Andrew Phelps. And if the next person could be ready. Karen Keyes first, then Mr. Phelps. Karen Keyes? Karen Keyes, are you here? Karen Keyes? All right, I'm skipping to Andrew Phelps.
Hello. My name is Andrew Phelps. I go by Andrew the Behavior Object. I am been a resident of Berkeley for 50 years. I worked in the People's Office in 1925 on Luther King and Grove Street, which is now KCSA property. Back in the 60s, another from an activist. I come here to speak on the issue of discrimination against people on account of their involvement with behavior management and with being mental patients and associated with that attendance. This is an ongoing issue of discrimination, which is not being dealt with, and it's not historically been dealt with. In the 60s, we did not deal with racism or sexism in a direct, clear way. We had to work very hard with the Third World Strike. I was an activist in the Third World Strike. We have a major feminist movement to change the way in which women are treated as people. And those are still ongoing problems. But this issue of discrimination against people on account of being behavior managed or being given a social death sentence by the psychiatric diagnosis system is an ongoing problem. So the issue of stereotyping. And I'm offering my stereotype, which is that I'm a behavior object and I take power. I've been working with various people to build a professional struggle against this because this is a long-standing thing. In May, we had a workshop at the doctoral program in medical anthropology called the International Critical Psychiatry Workshop, which is sponsored by Nancy Schiffer Hughes and Adolfo and Stephen Siegel and many psychiatrists from Europe, mainly from Europe, but some from America. And we are trying to deal with diagnosis behavior. So people diagnosis have behavior problems because they're diagnosing it in the way in which they do it. And we need to be able to be treated equally with people. We can't have people get up and say, oh, that's a crazy idea. Any more than the 60s who said that's an F idea. That's bad language. We need respect. That's what I'm going to do. I have copies of our stuff. Close what I can pass it around. Right. So, in general, our issues have to do with what we call in the traditional psychiatry world life project support. We are real people. We are not about becoming normal. We are about becoming our full human beings that we are. That's the life project. And that's why we get with psychiatrists in Trieste, where we apply to code perspective. And it involves an alternative method, which is the medical anthropology project to deal with the madness issue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for bringing the issue to us.
The next is Janice Long.
I'm Janice Long. I'm a psychologist and an activist. And I start always from the point of view of human suffering. I speak to the same issue that Andrew Phelps just did. And I would like to make such a complete for the massive suffering caused by social arrangements and mental health system arrangements for people with psychological difficulties, pathological suffering, both as they try to battle what's happening to them and also in the aftermath when they are somehow stigmatized by society. We've seen a lot of this in the discussions of the relationship of violence and mental conditions in the past year. So And when I speak to clinicians on this issue, I call it the human rights issue in our own backyard. We have a lot of accountability and we have a lot of social responsibility to examine what the way that we work as clinicians when we are working as psychiatrists or social workers or psychologists or therapists of any sort with people who are suffering psychologically. So when I talk to KPFA, I would like to remind everybody, well, you don't need to be reminded of because you've been doing this, that social change only happens when people know about the suffering that is being caused and the injustices of the society. And this is where the media comes in, because many people who haven't, you know, been associated with any of these problems, they don't even believe there is a problem. And of course, the majority of people who are keeping the system going believe they're doing good, and they in fact wish to do good. But in fact, the system is such, just as the legal system is such, that they are not doing good even when they wish to. So their problems are complicated. They will be worked out better in society if people know about what's going on, if the voices of the people are heard. And over the years, KPFA has been a crucial part of bringing forward the voices of minorities, of women, of prisoners, of the homeless, of protesters. And I believe it is time to spend more time bringing forward these crucial issues which are coming up more and more in society. We may talk about drugs, we may talk about diagnoses, we may talk about violence, but we need to know more about what is happening in the world of psychological suffering and in the people who are trying to alleviate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our orca, and the person after that is Mickey Mays.
Orca is not present.
Orca is not present?
He's expected.
Ms. Mays? Mickey Mays?
I signed him up because he asked for the part of this.
Hi, many of you know about the apprenticeship program, but some aren't familiar with our journey over the past 10 years ago. A little over 10 years ago, Full Circle became an additional component to the program, which promotes peace via community building, using the passing on of media skills and consistently incorporating new voices.
Excuse me, could you turn it to the board to see? Thank you very much.
It's on that paper I handed out to.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Thank you. It's on the back of that paper.
Yeah, on the back.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead with your remarks. My apologies.
These resources were provided to support that big step forward because the apprentices were able to actually use and exercise the skills that they were learning. The apprenticeship was healthy then. We had nourishment. Then about 7 years ago, this position was cut. And then this position was cut. And this position was slashed. So now we're at 4 hours of this particular position. So today we have, then about 2010, the director's position itself was cut. So today we have part-time resources to attempt to run a full-time department, supervising 20 to 30 apprentices and overseeing the programming of a weekly hour-long show. So we put on mandates, but now we need a tourniquet. We are bleeding out. On the reverse of the chart that everybody got passed out, you will see just some of the values added to the occasion by first voice graduates. At the top of that list is Frank Sterling, who is virtually the go-to guy for everybody in the station. I'm on that list because I'm one of a handful of recording engineers who have been trained to set up and record live performances. Neither Frank or I get any money for these additional contributions. We give back. Finally, I'm going to play a little clip from Andrea Turner, a past policy president. This is what she said last week on Full Circle. I have to boot the computer.
Great, go to that. Mr. Technical Director.
Can we pause the camera?
Okay.
No, hold on. I have to put in the.
That's okay. Yeah, we need technical assistance if.
Being a pharmacist is really key. This is an education station and it provides the opportunity for young people as well as older people.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Ann.
Carol Wolfley is next, and coming up after that, Sarah Blanco. Fair enough. Okay, your time starts now.
Thank you. So I'm Carol Wolfley. I'm a new member of the Community Advisory Board. And I'm here to speak in support of increasing the number of hours for the apprenticeship program to 20 hours for the position that was on the right of the sign. And so that position would be for a senior producer, lead editor, and technical director to increase that up to 20 hours instead of 4 hours. And I understand you'll be considering that today. As a member of the Community Advisory Board, we wanted to reach out into the community and into the diverse community, and I believe the apprenticeship program does that in a unique way. I know that they have been recently at the demonstration in Oakland that had to do with the verdict of George Zimmerman. I know that they were at Indigenous Peoples Day in San Francisco. I know that they've been working with supporting the efforts to save the Berkeley at the demonstration about the Berkeley Post Office, and that they are gathering information and representing KPFA to get the information and to give it back. And I think these kinds of programs where people can tune into the radio and hear what's going on in the community is unique. A lot of people don't Twitter, they don't do those kinds of things. And the radio lets them know what's on the ground in the community, and the apprentices are unique. The apprenticeship flyers at the outreach table get the most attention. The apprentices are also doing the public service announcements and the calendar. Those are so important, and they are also becoming leaders for the future for free speech radio. So I really ask you to support this diverse and rich and alive group of people who need our support. Thank you.
Sarah Blanco. You're right.
We gotta start.
Oh,
for
me.
Sorry.
Hello, my name is Sarah Blanco. I'd like to start by saying how much I love KPFA. I've been an avid listener for 14 years, even though I'm only 20. I've always dreamed to be a part of KPFA. Just sort of happened that I ended up back in Berkeley in January and became an apprentice. So I'm here to thank you because I am a new apprentice and I'm very excited.
Allow me to say that I am here representing, of course, myself and my passions, but I do represent the Mexican-American migrant farm laborers, especially, and that's on behalf of my family. But I also represent humans who are imprisoned, and this imprisonment will include people in prison, you know, the prison industrial complex, but also psychiatric facilities and poverty, because that is a prison in and of itself. I already came here knowing of many of the controversies and the notoriety of KPFA, so it wasn't really anything new to me. Fascinating to be in the middle of it. But I also knew of how it really is a public radio station, how you and us and everybody in the public can be here to make your run. So I'm here because I want to believe in this program, the apprenticeship. I want to believe, that it is respected and supported financially. So that I and my fellow apprentices, you know, those that came before me, I'm in group 39, imagine that. And for all of those that will come after me, will still be here to bring diversity. And that maybe one day we will actually truly be celebrating diversity, not questioning whether or not institutionalized racism should or should not be on the agenda.
Thank you very much. The next person is Lynn Orlando, and Robin Takayama, you're right next after her.
I am Lynn Orlando. I spoke at the last meeting. I'm here again in support of the First Voice Apprentice Program. I am also Group 39. I am highly honored to be in this training program. This program is vital to the community. It offers to the community a forum for voices that may not be heard elsewhere, diversity, up-to-the-minute programming, news reporting, you name it, across the board, First Voice, Full Circle. These are given to the community. I have friends that listen online weekly to Full Circle from elsewhere in the country. I want to say that, as I mentioned at the last meeting, I feel First Voice Apprentice is a program vital to anyone who needs training in radio media, and we are not able to access this training through other modes. It offers just amazing Frank. I cannot say enough about Frank. I think it really hurts my heart that Frank is not paid for his time. He gives so much to the station, as do apprentices past and present. We have Louis Sawyer here, one of the first groups. I don't know, group 9? We are group 39. Just look around the station. You will see the people who have gone through this program still at the station, elsewhere in media. I just have to say a way to show support and show that we are vital is to support us through funding. I think the funding can be found. I think Mickey, Joy, the others who worked so hard to bring their abilities and pass what they know on to us deserve to be compensated for their time, their knowledge, and the love that they show us and support. I cannot say enough. I am honored to be in Group 39. I'm a little nervous, but thank you for listening, and thank you again for the honor of training at KPFA. I have supported KPFA, let's say, since I moved to the Bay Area in 2000. Prior to that, I was a KPFA supporter and volunteer. Pacific Coast is a part of my life, and I can't even imagine a community without KPFA or without First Voice. So, thank you.
Thank you. Robin Takayama and Virginia Browning, you're next after Ms. Takayama.
So I just want to say that it's great to be able to see all of you, and thank you so much for the time that you put in to making the station what it is, and it's great to be able to put some faces to the names that I've been seeing around. I was part of the apprentice group number 17 at Ukiah, which was back in the 90s when we were still working with tape. Right now, I'm part of the Apex Express Collective, and I just wanted to share with you, well, so the apprenticeship program was a pivotal part in my development. I got the technical skills, there's job development happening through the apprenticeship program. I got a job at a .com because although we worked with Kate, Michael Johnson from KALW at the time came in and showed us how to edit visually. And I was able to use that to get a job at an audio, online audio .com pre-iPod, so we failed. But I was paid for that work. I went on to become an independent producer. I sent myself to the Third Coast Audio Festival, met D. May Roberts, who was coming up with this idea to do an 8-hour documentary on Asian immigration to the U.S. She wanted to work with Asian American producers. And we did that. We got CPB funding. We were distributed by Public Radio International throughout the country. And I was able to look back at the apprenticeship program and bring Renee Young Giesler on board so that we went on and we won a Peabody for that work. That's the development that the apprenticeship program helped with. I also produce for NPR, KQED, KALW. In addition, there's a development of political consciousness. And let me just read to you what APEC has developed as our mission. We're committed to building a broader social movement for justice and collective liberation for all oppressed people, including poor and working class people, people of color, women, and queer people. We support grassroots organizing and cultural work that advances these goals and see APEC as a place for building consciousness and promoting critical discussion about these efforts. As part of KPFA, we are committed to promoting independent community media that is free and accessible to everyone. We work collectively to share our skills and resources and to build the capacity and confidence of community members to tell their stories. Within our group, we prioritize maintaining a culture of mutual support, respect, and love. And that came out of the learning that we got from the apprenticeship program. So I just encourage you to support this vital program so that many of us can continue on doing the great work that we do in the community and that we do here in the station. Thank you.
Thank you. Virginia Browning.
He's been working back at the bottom of the list. He's here now.
I'm sorry, what?
Orca Rastavon.
This speaker has shown up.
If you can put him back on the bottom of the list now, he's here. He was absent when you called his name.
Okay. Virginia Browning is up. Daniel Borgstrom is next.
Hi, I'm happy to hear these apprentice supporters here. I mainly speaking in favor, I didn't know they were going to be here, but my main issue is more inclusiveness at KPFA. It should be a place, and to at least to some degree it is a place, thanks to people like Frank and Nikki Mays and the apprenticeship program that does invite people in who need to have their voices heard. I love APEC Express, so I don't know if she's still here, but anyway, that's one of my favorite programs. One of the things that I wanted to say is it's frustrating to me. You know, there's been this issue. I don't have standing to say something to this investigator that was here. But I have been watching things at KPFA for a long time because I am a lover of radio, and I did radio when I was young. I see how some of the people who, even though they're good on the air, they have worked systematically, really carefully sometimes, to close voices out. I had friends that died because they were mentally ill, and if they had lived around here, I don't see how we could have possibly gotten their stories onto the news program here at KPFA, because the news program has a very narrow little window of access, and those who know somebody, maybe they will be spoken to respectfully. Usually they're ignored if they want to get a story on them. If it's something that's finally supported by enough people, I know that some of the paid people that I'm talking about here have gone, even though they disparaged Occupy at first, for example, they ended up going in, swooping in, and taking all the stories away from some of the apprentices of the APEC Express people who did a great job at Occupy, and kind of taking over the coverage. sometimes that mission of Apex Express is really important about trying to organize and not just talking heads at the community, but stirring up things for change in this world that needs change so much. It is important to have these town hall meetings that are never held at KPFA so that we can try to get people that are so concerned about their jobs talking to people who, because they're not going to be able to pay 24-hour people at KPFA. There needs to be dialogue that was instituted into the Pacifica bylaws so that people can talk about that together and work things out so that people aren't so worried about their jobs that they're trying to undercut the unpaid staff.
Thank you. Daniel Borgstrom and then Anita Johnson will follow.
Well, I'm Daniel Borgstrom. I understand that today the budget is one of the big things on the list here. And I kind of was more of a question than a comment. I've been kind of out of the loop recently, and anyway, I understand that there was an emergency meeting to pass the budget a couple of weeks ago, and I picked up something about this on the table back there. Haven't had a chance to really look at it. Anyway, a lot of people weren't here. A lot of people from both UCR and CAPFA were apparently missing. Then I got an email, and I don't know how I got it. Craig Alderson, I don't know how I got on your list, but I got an email from you accusing the UCR people of boycotting the meeting. And not just now, I find that some of your people were also not there. And I understand that this was for the budget, an emergency meeting, and that the budget was tossed out about midnight of the previous day. Now, from what I've seen, these budgets, they're not that simple a thing. It takes a while to look at. It takes a while to study. And this is tossed out with significant changes from what it was before and not giving people time to look at it. And then you're accusing people of boycotting the meeting. And I'm just wondering, what is going on here?
Thank you. Anita Johnson?
So, Anita Johnson, co-founder of Hard
Radio. Use your mic, please.
Anita Johnson, co-founder of Hard Radio and Postal. Basically, I wanted to say that I support the motion to discuss institutional racism. Please, Frank, the other thing is I want to support the funding of the apprenticeship program. Now, as a black woman at the station working at KPFA, I've been subjected to institutionalized racism and sexism. It's been very difficult at the station dealing with particular things. One thing in particular, I think, is being supported by management due to the lack of enforcement of policy at the station and the lack of transparency and fairness. And it's like being at KPFA, there's two worlds, so that applies to some, but that's all. So that's just definitely something that folks need to acknowledge. Also, something else that I want to briefly address when looking at my time is the lack of the acknowledgement of long-term contributions of the apprenticeship program. I graduated from UBRAE. I can call the president of UBRAE at any given time and have a conversation with her. She understands my importance to that organization, and I understand what that organization represents to me. The fact that KPFA does not see the benefit, long-term benefit, of the apprenticeship program and its contributions to Sydney is actually insane. That's just my own personal take on it. Something else that I really want to address also is Bob Otta. He produces some of KPFA's events, and his selective reasoning for why he chooses to go to certain people time and time and time again should be frustrating and upsetting to all of you, especially when you think about the qualified people that exist at the station. So my personal issue with him is I confronted him about something that he didn't even pertain to that in a staff meeting, and ever since then he refused to talk to me or have any kind of dialogue. So it's on the LSU to really begin to address these things, because management is not doing it. You know, so there's a need to have these kind of discussions. And you know, I'm not expecting us to fix the world, but let's fix KPFA in a way that we can. And really, a lot of this stuff, when we talk about legally, I mean, this is a potential lawsuit. This is a nightmare of this not being addressed, because this stuff is blatant. Like, it's in our face. So it's not even something that we can sugarcoat. It calls something else. It is what it is. So that's just something that I just want to get folks to begin to think about and really have dialogue, like serious dialogue, on how to begin to address, because there's policy that is not being enforced. I lock my door. I mean, Maria can test this. She'll knock the door and I'll unlock my door. There's issues of safety, there's issues of different things. As a woman, you know, there's certain things I just don't feel safe being. I keep it on certain levels, so that's just what I'm going to say. All right.
Thank you. And if you're willing, could you give the phone name for your
I'm
phone name?
To so everybody can start. Yeah, well,
could you? I can't hear you without the mic.
I said, I'm sorry that I'm late. I came from Stockton. I just want to address everybody here at the station.
That's Orca.
He goes by Orca.
Orca, okay.
Yeah, Orca Rackmar.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay. So we recently graduated from the apprenticeship program. And the thing about you guys not wanting to fund the apprenticeship program the way that you guys keep coming up with different projects is a lot like the job I'm at right now. I don't really want to talk too much about it, but at the same time, you know, a lot of mistakes are being made within KPFA as a whole, within Pacifica as a whole, and I don't want to see it reverberate anymore. Even the jobs that you guys post that may not be directly tied to radio are something that you should look at the apprenticeship, the people from the apprenticeship program for before you look anywhere else. Because we put entire hours at the station, whether it be during pledge time, whether it be you know, our show itself, helping other shows do things. Frank was like the pillar for Flashpoints for an extremely long time, and the show hasn't even been as good since he's been gone. And you guys want to act like the apprentices aren't like if I want to say the captains basically of the ship. When something goes wrong, they run looking for Frank or Miss M. And where are they, apprentices? I came there trying to get a job. I didn't even want to leave KPFA, even with all the problems. I wanted to help make KPFA right. I didn't even get a job there. So I ended up having to go work for Alameda County, not my Contra Costa County. You don't even see the potential with the people that are right in front of you, whereas you should be saying, "These people we need to keep these people, make sure these people are getting hours, try to get these people at least partial benefits. At least, you know, try to expand it and make people understand that we are coming in from the ground up. There's people coming in with degrees and all this stuff, and they produce crap radio. We're just coming off the street. We learn everything ourselves. So for you to not see the value in KPFA, or excuse me, the apprenticeship program, not see the value in KPFA, it seems like everyone within KPFA doesn't see the value in KPFA. But I see the value in KPFA. I see the value in the apprenticeship program. This is from somebody really, I'm forced to feel like I'm from the outside looking in when I was already on the inside. I did my 2 years and did all I could in and out of all the movements that we had in the last 2 years. And I can actually attest to the value of the apprenticeship program, but no one else can see it. It really feels at this point like the blind leading the blind to the deaf. Because no one's listening, you can see it, it's right in front of you, but you want to act like you can't. And you're hearing it right now, but you want to act like you don't. I don't know what else to say. I don't want to speak on racism, I don't want to speak on any of that, because all that is real, but right now, it's just cultural stuff. You guys are trying to kill a culture, and that's the worst thing to try to do. We should be trying to build a culture. And I think we should just fly by ourselves. Let's just be KPFA, get rid of it. We can just be ourselves, get away from the system, all that crap. Become our own station.
Here, here.
Thank you. Thank you, by the way, if you're people wondering about the note, I've just been informed by someone who knows bylaws better than I that it's a mistake to ask someone who is speaking in public comment to fully identify him or herself. So that's what the note was, and I thought you might be interested.
So they could comment anonymously, is what you said.
That's what I was informed. I have to read. All I wanted to do was to let you know what was in the note that came to me, and I'm going to complete my education by double-checking the bylaws.
CPB regs.
I want to thank everybody who has participated in the public comment. It was very valuable to me, and I think to the rest of the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're now ready for announcements. Are there any? And I see Joy's hand. First off, and Joy, you get the floor.
I just want to announce that the KPFA Christmas program is doing a joint project with the Brooklyn Historical Society. We'll be showing a film called Edible City, September 22nd from 2 to 6 p.m. And the apprentices went to Juneteenth and collected garden stories from people in Berkeley. And so gardening is a movement, food is a movement, and we're involved. And I encourage you all to go to the Berkeley Historical Society's website and get more detailed information. But it's a pre-event, donations accepted, September 22nd from 2 to 6 p.m.
Any further announcements? Any further announcements?
Right.
From the board. just wanted to announce that we made our contract goal. We're over the goal by about $9,000. Last time I checked, the spillover pledge is online after the phone room closes. So thank you to everybody who did anything in the phone room on the air.
Well, by phoning in a pledge from Oregon.
What's that?
Or by phoning in a pledge from Oregon.
Or by phoning in a pledge from Oregon.
You did that? Mr. White?
I hope others did as well.
Okay.
The other piece of news that came down to a bunch of us in the station yesterday was that apparently Andrew Phillips is now the program director of WBAI, so apparently it wasn't a problem with him having a job than having one here.
Any further announcements? Okay, my friends, we started a little bit late. We're moving ahead. We're now at the report of the interim general manager. We're starting at about 20 of the hour, and I'm trying to keep to the schedule segments, and we have 20 minutes portion for this segment. Richard,
on order.
On order.
I would like to understand this carefully. Do we have a 20-minute time certain for this schedule, for this item on the agenda, or do we simply have it listed as 20 minutes, which could expand to 3 hours?
It is my understanding, subject to being corrected, and I seek correction, that once the board approves of an agenda, it is our responsibility to abide by those periods unless we vote to extend it.
Would it be a point of pain in the ass to move that this point on the agenda end at 1 p.m.?
It would be duplicative, I think.
Well, at 1 p.m., if we haven't ended, I'm going to be asked to be recognized to move the agenda.
And I will move it along with you. And the reason I'm articulating this is I want people to have notice up front.
Just to amplify what Brian just said about the fund drive, at the end of the drive on Friday night, I asked Joy for the total, and she gave me a number of $341,291. That was approximately $2,000 short of our goal. Once the pledge drive ends, we then begin a process of running carts and reminding all listeners that they can still contribute to KPFA. They just need to go online. Premiums are still available there. By Thursday, August 8th, we had reached a total of $352,034. So, yes, we were successful in that sense. We hope to be more successful next time. We hope to move forward with some of the things that we know worked. We hope to address some of the things that didn't work this time. And come the fall drive, we hope to exceed our goal. With regard to the workplace investigation, I spoke with Robert McCree, who is the workplace investigator. He tells me he hopes to wrap up the investigation next week. He would not give a specific. He did say that there was still material coming in that he had to go through and still material he had to solicit. But he did feel as though he could bring it to an end next week. I was contacted by the Berkeley Group. This is a group associated with the university. It seems they have worked with us before and have generated a report. The report was forwarded to me by a board member, and I appreciate that. I'm going through it now. I'm also talking with the folks on the union who have in the past made suggestions with regard to cost savings to be implemented. Both the Berkeley Group and the union suggestions would seem to be, at least as far as I've gotten so far, worth pursuing. I will be finishing that. I will be making a report to the board in writing on these things, hoping for some consideration. I'll also be submitting both documents in complete form to the board so that they can look them over in case they're not aware of it. If there's anybody who knows why we didn't pursue these things in the past, the Berkeley Group report goes back to 2009, the union recommendations go back several years, please let me know. That would certainly inform my report to you, and please feel free to contact me after the meeting or something like that. With regard to the license renewal, everything, all the forms, all the paperwork, everything was completed on time, submitted on time, everything has been filed. Within all 10 days to 2 weeks, if there are any objections, if there are any complaints against the station, we will be notified by the FCC and perhaps the license renewal process will be held up pending an investigation. Otherwise, without that, the license renewal will go through smoothly and there should be no problems. I should let you know that the Texas station in Pacifica completed their filing at about the same time. Their renewal is being held up because there was a violation reported to the FCC and they are being investigated. With regard to something I brought up in a previous meeting, just to refresh your memories, as far as the FCC is concerned, KPFA and KPFB are two separate stations. KPFB is not referred to as a translator. It is a separate entity as far as the FCC is concerned. Over the years, technical modifications to the KPFA translator have now allowed the signal from the KPFA translator to reach into the areas that the KPFB transmitter is reaching now. Essentially, with the exception of the Berkeley City Council meetings and I believe the school board meetings, essentially the programming is exactly the same. That could continue, but as I had mentioned before, it might be nice to think about them as two separate entities. This would open up a lot of opportunities. Now, granted, in looking things over at the station, and certainly in looking at the budget, which we'll be looking at shortly, funding would preclude, at least at this stage, paid programming on the new KPFB. In addition, our production facilities would probably necessitate that any programming on KPFB be recorded. Even with those restrictions, it would still offer opportunities to any number of people who are currently at the station in any capacity, and any number of people outside the station currently to join the station. It would be a wonderful place to develop new programming, to have a place for programs to grow. It would also allow us to have a second stream again, to offer more programming and more services to more people. I do hope the board will give this some consideration and decide that this is something that we should move forward on. As I say, we need to create more opportunities for people at the station and people outside the station. This is one of the ways that we can do it. Now, I know, because I've been doing this for a very long time, that technically the program schedule is not a matter of governance. It is one of management. But every so often, I've come across an odd board member who has a marginal interest in schedule. As I say, of the many things that we're trying to do in terms of improving the return on our pledge drives, we need to periodically look at the schedule and see if there are ways that we can improve it to generate more revenue, to reach more listeners, to provide greater service to the listeners. I'm going to be doing that. Now, quite frankly, I don't know how much flexibility there is. I don't really know that there can be many changes, if any at all. But I would like to hear from board members. The one caveat would be that whatever you might want to pass along to me, if you could tell me why, strategically, you feel this way. In other words, if you look at a program and you say, you know, Richard, I've listened to that program, it's a fine program, but the way you have it scheduled now, it's not even reaching its core audience. It's not available at that time. You really need to move. That's a very valid suggestion. It truly is. If you can't reach your core audience, you're in trouble. And, quite frankly, there are programs like that. So, as I said, I'm open to all suggestions. I'm going to be taking a fairly reasonable, quiet, peaceful, sedate look at the schedule and seeing where changes could be made. And if you would like to have any kind of suggestions, please pass them along. You have my email address. You can call me. You can stop by and talk. Again, with regard to Andrew, yes, I got a call from him just the other day saying that he was going to be the program director at WBAI. He said he was going to be there for the foreseeable future. I know that at various meetings it has come up that you're paying for two IGNs. I don't know the conditions of his administrative leave, but I would assume they would preclude him double dipping. So at the time he becomes at the time he becomes the program director there officially, which might have happened already, I would imagine his payments from the administrative leave would come to an end. I would ask you to verify that with the Pacifica National Board, but I believe that is the case.
Dennis Rosenberg has the
answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rich.
Okay, let
him
finish.
Go on, let him finish, please.
Okay. Lastly, the budget. I know it is easy to look at a budget and say it's a lot of line items and numbers. It's actually more than that. It is a blueprint. It is a way of funding goals. I have to tell you, for my part in this particular budget, the goals that I saw were essentially done by the Pacifica mission statement and by the conditions at the stations presently. As an IGN, especially one with a very limited tenure, one has to assume that the way things are at the station or the way people want them to be, except to be somewhat improved. I happen to assume that when I read the mission statement, until it is modified, that this still affords a general direction for the station that should be followed. That's what this particular budget represents. Now, I feel as though there's an element that's missing. At most stations, and again, I've been doing this for 30 years, folks. I do have some experience with other stations in other parts of the country. At most stations, boards will take the present condition at the station. They will take the mission statement, and they will make specific goals known to management, and they will say, we want you to fund these goals. We want this budget to reflect the funding, the enabling of these goals. I didn't receive that mission from the board. Now, maybe that's not the way it's done here. I just would suggest that the board, for future budgets, consider doing it that way. Not necessarily goals from individual board members, not necessarily goals from differing caucuses, but the board as a whole saying, these are the goals we wish to be accomplished. Please submit a budget that will accomplish this and fund them. That's for future budgets. I would say if you could do that as a principle and then start it for the next budget, maybe begin that talk in January. And so by the time that you need to have the budget done, you'll have all your goals in place, you'll probably have plenty of time to assemble the budget to match those goals, and there won't be any need for emergency meetings or anything else. It'll be done on time. And it'll be done the way you want it, and hopefully there won't be too much hassling at the end over specific line items. It's a nice goal. Worth a try, maybe. As for this particular budget, I understand that there are going to be a lot of concerns. I do hope one of them isn't that we have a ton of money and we're just mismanaging it. I would say that probably any entity can spend its money better than it is currently doing so. I would assume that is true here. But if you think of all the worthwhile programs and services currently offered by the station, if you think of all the programs and services that could be funded by the station if there were more money, you begin to realize that the biggest problem we have is not mismanagement of the money we have now. It's that we don't have enough money. Now, I know when you read budget total, that sounds like a lot of money. Things aren't as cheap as they used to be, folks. Your budget needs to be able to grow. You need to be able to grow funding. And to do that, you need to be able to grow this leadership and support. So as you look at the budget and you're thinking about cuts or changes, please consider, again, that this budget is supposed to enable the goals you're trying to achieve. If you agree that you want to achieve greater revenue generation, then by all means, please be very careful about any cuts you make to those aspects of the budget that generate revenue. If you believe we should have more listeners, if you believe we should provide more service to the community, then by all means, please be very careful about those line items that will help us grow listenership and which will help us serve the community. Lastly, I would point to the difference between board members and managers. Just as a rule of thumb, I've always found that board members have a luxury of being somewhat idealistic, and managers tend to have to be a bit more pragmatic. I would ask, since I'm new to this process, that you think about the process and what happens here and what happens after here. Please remember that whatever you do with this budget, however you vote on it, to my understanding, it still goes to the National Finance Committee. This board does not have the final word. Please, when you're thinking about changes to the budget, please think about that. Please think if they will have any impact with the National Finance Committee. Please think about the time you spend here on this budget and whether or not it really is going to be effective. Please come to some conclusion that, yes, we can tweak this budget from now till doomsday. It's not going to be the final budget coming out of here. Please come to some decision where you can say to yourself, okay, this budget isn't perfect by my standards, but it's time to end it, vote on it, and pass it along. Thank you.
Somebody's phone is ringing. I find it distracting.
Yes, that's that.
It is. Thank you. just to remind everybody and announce to members who are here, you take your questions and the manager will answer them all at once. So we're going to pass the mic back. I see Joy's hand first, and I'm going to ask Joy, you get the mic. Go ahead. Craig, you're second on the list.
Thank you, Richard, for your report. And I agree with most of what you said about us mismanaging our funds and all. And you asked for suggestions. I just wanted to follow up on a suggestion I did make to you about 24/7 fundraising. We have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we put all our fundraising into those special weeks or whatever. Have you considered, or will you implement a cart that plays once at least per day, asking for donations to the website, and more donation requests during the evening hours? Where are you going ahead with that? And I wanted to know how many people you estimate KPFB actually reaches potentially. And also, could we specifically look at reducing our mailing costs? They're astronomical. We're sending out premiums, and they're taking up a big part of the budget, which takes a big part of our subscriptions away. And one of the other things I did suggest to Phil, and I just want to reiterate here really quickly, the volunteers in the room are programmed to push premiums, to suggest to people they get premiums, to look for premiums for them. And so maybe there's a policy we can institute in the subscriptions phone room that we don't push premiums on people, that we let people ask for premiums only versus us suggesting premiums, and that might cut our costs down. We may not have to deal with any premium requests. And that's it.
Any other questions? Seeing none, like, I crave my apologies.
So, Joy, here's my question about reach of KPFB, but also, could you, what is the Berkeley group? Was that a 2009 report? I'm just wondering what that is.
Andrea, the list is continues. Andrea and Frank and Jack.
Could you register that on here, please?
Yes.
Okay. Andrea, you are next.
Say it for the record. Carolyn.
She's got the mic.
My questions are as follows. Number one, I'm super happy to hear you talk about KPFB. We were just having a conversation about it this morning. We've been allowing our imagination to run wild on that possibility, and it seems like a really positive and important and creative possibility, and I'm lovely to bring it up. I'm curious about what kind of authorization you need to get started with that. You know, what do you feel like you need from this body? And if we can all vote, yahoo and whoop, you know, and you just tell us how we can support that, I would love to hear about that. And if you need us to vote on it, then tell us that, and I'm happy to make a motion. I'm interested to hear your thoughts about development and the wisdom of creating a three-quarter time position and a fund drive coordinator, et cetera. You know, when I look at the amount that we're considering spending on Goalbusters combined with that, it seems to me that what we really need is an anchored, grounded, empowered development director who can actually authorize projects. Because when I went to the development training that Goalbusters offered, while I thought that was useful, I also was trying to pitch ideas to Mr. Anderson, and he's like, well, hey, I'm not the one. He's like, you got to bring that up with Richard. It's like, well, it seems like Richard's plate is full. And so I don't know. I'd love you to talk about who we need, because what we don't have is, I don't know. If it's you, then I guess we need to make some conversation or something. But if you have another plan for that over the course of the year, I'd love to hear about it. Because this board has voted for a development director every year and we never buy them. So you want to talk about who's got power in the room? Okay, that's my question. Thank you.
Frank, it's Mike. You know, you
hold on to yours. Hello. I agree with a lot of what Andrea said about development. I feel like I like low budget personally, but I feel like a full time or whatever time, but an in house development person would be great. I'm also curious about some of the budget. I know it has the increase for the union over 3 years. I was curious who all negotiated that, if it was you or not, gonna ask in a past meeting, and if it's final, because I feel like that's a big part of the budget. And I know I've spoken about how I've learned about unions before. You know, I never went to college. I made it through high school barely. I've learned about unions through KPFA, and I'm curious of this increase over 3 years, 3% each year, 9% in total, and what is that if the good looking out for the station when we're suffering as a station, and it's still an isolated group of people that are getting it. And while I appreciate unions and their worth for everybody to have a higher wage and a better lifestyle, I feel like we're still leaving a great portion of the station out that's getting left behind. Everybody in the union is getting another raise, while other people still remain volunteers or services that have been cut or not even being restored. And so I feel like that's a big part of the budget too, that how did that happen? And is it final?
The following people have asked for the floor. Jack, Barbara, Janet, we've run to Tenet.
I have a point of order. We're at time for the item. If we want 2 hours for the budget,
yeah.
We need a plan for coming to a resolution.
That's what I was trying to address, if you'll forgive me.
Sorry.
Could you say I'm here?
Yes,
that's all.
For the record, Carol Travis has arrived and is recorded as present.
Thank you.
Carol. It's up to the board. Three more people want to speak. We want responses from the manager. May I ask for a motion for a
15 more minutes?
There is a motion for a 15-minute extension. And I believe we have some eager people seconding. Jack?
I make an alternative motion to move the agenda now.
I think that takes precedent.
Whoa, folks,
bear with me, will you please?
That's you, Tracy.
Is there a discussion on this type of motion?
May I ask, Jack, as a personal favor, that you withdraw your motion?
Well, here's my problem. If it were a real intention of everybody on this board to have a 15-minute and not 1 second more extension, if there were an honorable consensus on that, I would go for a 15-minute extension. But until I hear, by acclamation, unanimity from each and every member of this board that they are not going to extend the discussion past another 15 minutes. Until I hear that, I will not back down from my motion for moving the agenda right now.
Brian?
If I understand the status quo is that we move on, there's a motion for a 15-minute extension. So it's just a question of whether the extension passes or not.
Yeah.
Jack's motion is irrelevant.
All right. Bear with me. Let me make a suggestion and then you can shoot me. But here's your suggestion. Rather than arguing our time away, please let us vote upon Tori's motion, and if it passes, I damn well will enforce it as chair. All those in favor of a 15-minute extension, say aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, and we are going to end, I swear it, by 20 minutes past. All right. Jack, you have the floor for question to the chair. Barbara is next. Janet is next. And then the Janet is off the microphone. Then after Barbara goes to Richard for the answers, and you're going to be cut off in 15 minutes from now. Okay, Jack.
I have an observation and a comment.
That's okay, 3 minutes. It don't matter. He can do what he wants.
Yep. 3 minutes. Jack, you have a floor.
I have an observation and a comment. I think that from the point of view of the future functioning of this board and the future trajectory of this station, the most important point that Richard made was the availability of KPFB as an addition to the available programming time that we have available to us. What that means, with the proper attitude, with an attitude of trust and process, means that we no longer have to have a turf battle over time. And what that means is that we can simultaneously have programming on the air that raises big bunches of money to support all of the activities of the station, and have the time to broadcast alternative kind of programming or programming that reaches particular sections of the community. We have until now, in my experience on this board, had a turf war over money versus time. And we don't have to have that war anymore. That's my comment.
The next person is Barbara, and you have a question for the...
No, I have a comment that the many of the items that people are bringing up right now will be addressed in the treasurer's report and can be discussed during that time.
Okay.
Yeah, who's next?
Who's next?
Okay, nobody is next. Richard is next.
All right.
Joy, with regard to your asking about the 24/7 fundraising, I've spoken with Deb. As soon as the carts stop running, which are now announcing that the pledge drive is over, please fulfill your pledges, and if you haven't pledged, we will begin running carts that do, that can run at any time throughout the entire year, reminding folks that any time is a good time to pledge.
Yeah, thank you.
With regard to KPFB's reach, I can't really tell you the exact population within the range. What we can do is provide you with an approximate footprint of the broadcast area.
Okay.
In fact, my guess is if you went to radio-locator.com, it might give you one or an approximate one right now. We can probably be a little more specific. You also want to consider that with, you know, a purchase of additional bandwidth, it would have its own separate increased stream. So that reach would be beyond whatever the transmitter can reach. Mailing cost reductions? Yeah, we would like to do that. We were talking already about the need to transfer from multi-CD premiums, which are large and bulky, to thumb drives. It's not going to be easy. We have, I wouldn't say they're technophobic, but we have certain people with set ideas about wanting CDs and not really being very interested in thumb drives. We will have to make that change gradually. In addition, What we try to do, or what we're trying to do now, in terms of moving away from the premiums as the be-all and end-all, and just make them thank you gifts, that should help too. And by all means, many stations do not necessarily bring up the premium when you call in.
Right.
You have to ask for it. And this is something that we've talked about and we hope to implement in a gradual way at least, is reminding people that if they decide they don't want a premium, then their donation is entirely tax deductible. That makes a big difference to some, and some people just aren't quite aware of that. So we would like to do that from phone room level too. The Berkeley Group, yes, that was a 2009 report. It was the name of the general manager at that time was Lem Lem. She received it, and I assumed that it was made available to all board members. Is that okay? So if you weren't on the board then, I will certainly get the document to you along with my recommendations. But as I say, if there's anyone who knows why, I mean, it's a well-written, well-researched report, and it makes some important suggestions. I mean, some of them go back to stuff that I was talking to the PNB about in Houston back in 2009 with regard to tiered membership and easy things like that. So I you know, if there's some reason why these recommendations have not been followed to this point, that would really help me. With regard to the authorization that I would need, what I would like to do is for the board to determine a representative or a group of representatives to meet with me and Michael Yoshida, and we'll go down the list of things that we would need from the board to set this up. And essentially, we could define the options for you, and then the board could take this back to the board and have them vote on it. With regard to development, I agree. It would be great to have a full-time director of marketing and development. Marketing is a very important factor to any radio station, and it needs to be approached in conjunction with development and in conjunction with programming. But if you were to bring someone in now, full-time director of marketing and development, you would be paying well more than twice what you're paying for Goldbusters, and you would be paying that marketing and development director full-time salary and benefits to get things started. That's what Goldbusters is doing right now. They're doing everything they can from their off-site location to help us with any number of aspects of development so that when their contract is over, which is, I believe, in the fall of 2014, we will have the infrastructure and the revenue to hire a full-time marketing and development director. As I say, someone who could hit the ground running with infrastructure in place. And as I say, when the fundraising and volunteer coordinator, that position would obviously be phased out once a program director and a development director are in place. It would be redundant. But to get us there, just as Goldbusters is getting us there, we need it now. This is based on my judgment, having worked two fund drives now and realizing that this would be not only an efficiency in terms of generating more revenue, but in terms of using the people on the fund drive committee now to do the work we're paying them to do, because they need to do that more than they do fund drive, and they have better skills at doing that than they do in terms of being a fund drive committee. With regard to the increase in the union contract, I do not fully know the level of confidentiality involved in this. I will say this in general terms, and if there are any union members here, they could caution me if I'm going a little bit too far. But a proposal was made by the union for an increase in salary. They had not received an increase in 5 years. There was a proposal made. There was a counter proposal made. There were several back and forth proposals. And what is in the contract now was eventually what is agreed to. Is it final? It's technically not final until the contract is signed. I have to sign it, and the IED has to sign it. I've signed it. I do not know yet whether the IED has signed it.
We have a few moments, and Jory indicated you had a follow-up question, and I recognize you for that purpose. And Barbara has a comment, and then I'm watching the clock. Please watch it with me.
Here. So Richard, follow up on the development. I didn't ask the question, but first of all, I don't think there's an assumption we have to have a full-time person. I agree with you that marketing is certainly important. It's definitely a part of development. But my question is, first of all, let me make a comment. A year ago, I came to this room, I was not on the board, and I suggested that Rollbusters was a waste of time and a waste of money. Nobody listened to me then, they probably won't listen to me now. My point is, Goldbusters certainly gives us something to focus on, certainly is an organizing tool, certainly gives us an opportunity to expand our capacity to garner more resources for the station. What is missing is someone to actually implement the suggestions that Goldbusters comes with. So we can spend the $80,000 this year and next year on Goldbusters, still not have someone. And I'm saying we're waiting for something that's not going to happen. Let's get someone in part-time development to work with Goldbusters now, so that when their contract is up, we will have the infrastructure in place. I'm sorry I'm loud, but it's really the shushy. It's the microphone, not me. So I only have a couple minutes for response, but I just want to consider changing the way we're thinking about this. We're going to spend $80,000 on Goldbusters. What do we show for it? Our contributions are down, donations are down, we're not making anything fucking down. They've been with us for over a year. I'm only saying I think we're being penny wise and pound foolish if we don't set up our own infrastructure to deal with the development in house right now.
Barbara.
Let's see. What I wanted to address was I received a message by some people who were very concerned from a board member, Margie Wilkinson, that in fact the union contract, whether it is signed formally by the IED or not, is in fact completed. She initialed things, and there were witnesses, and that contract is completed. It just requires the formal last step.
Okay.
I got two more minutes for him to respond. Come on, we said it. That's it. 15. We got 2 minutes.
We don't have to use every second.
Goldbusters is giving us actual things that we can take care of where we are. With regard to the work that they've done in terms of what we do during the fund drive, that has been implemented. The shows that were targeted this time, in some cases more than double what they normally are able to generate during a fund drive. With regard to the mailing campaigns, their work with us in terms of the structure, in terms of the timing, in terms of the very text that we use is already being implemented. Things that Goldbusters is doing are being implemented. I do have to say, though, that there are things that Goldbusters isn't doing that they could be doing. You may recall that at a past board meeting, I mentioned both Alice and Jim are open to receiving questions from this board in terms of other revenue streams that other stations pursue that KPFA doesn't. They...
Yeah, underwriting.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just want people to respond.
Okay, so that is something that, you know, if in terms of, as I said, in terms of generating more money so that the station can do more, that is something that should be looked into. And it's not just underwriting. There are other things that can be done. In terms of what Goldbusters is doing that will set the pace for hiring somebody full-time who can come in and start hitting the ground running, They're doing a great deal in terms of like harvesting major donors. That comprehensive campaign that they are going to work on could be extremely valuable to this station. I think they need to be given a chance to fulfill this mission. I do think, though, that in terms of somebody being a point person, the fund drive coordinator, along with the other members of the management team, who are already serving in that capacity, could be of great help.
All right, thank you, Richard.
Okay, a recommendation from the chairs, the treasurer, and the secretary that we take a 15-minute break at this moment before starting the budget has been made. I hereby executively declare a 15-minute break. Come back at, by that clock at when the big hand hits the 7th.
Great, you want to turn that mic off, see if it's better? Just a red, right?
No light. Oh, yellow is muted.
Okay, I got it. All the way out.